As many of you know, Fear the Boot has had some recent tension with the Annie Awards over things said in previous episodes. This issue was discussed with great vigor on several public forums, including our own. I don't intend to rehash any of that discussion because I would rather look forward than dwell on the past. In fact, I had no intention of mentioning this on our podcast at all, but something has forced me to go back on that. Several fans have been expressing their discontent with the decision against us, which I respect. However, two things have been brought to my attention that I do not endorse and must ask our fans to stop immediately. First, please do not send harassing or obscene emails to anyone. If you wish to disagree with the Any Board for their decision, please do so with decency and respect. Harassing people or disrupting their forums does not help our cause, but instead makes this show and its many listeners look bad. Second, there are a few folks on the Any Rules that deserve no expressions of displeasure at all. To the best of my understanding, the Ennies are organized into three tiers: directors, judges, and staff. The role of a judge is only to look over the submissions and decide who makes it into the final voting phase. They had nothing to do with the controversy now surrounding us. To be more specific, the judge that championed the podcasting category and helped decide Fear the Boot would make it into the final five is a gentleman by the name of Jeremy Ware. He was a listener before the Ennies started and is still a fan today. And throughout this controversy, he has done everything he could to stand by our show. Unfortunately, some individuals that probably misunderstand his role in this affair are directing the rage towards him and the other judges in some rather shocking ways. I appreciate your zeal to defend Fear the Boot. I really do. But please stop this immediately. Not only does hate mail or threats make us look bad, but you're also unleashing them on a friend of the show. Let me repeat this to be as clear as I possibly can. Jeremy does not even deserve polite expressions of disagreement, much less unfettered vitriol. He is a fan and ally of our show, not an enemy. Fear the Boot is in his debt for many, many things, and while we will not be participating in the 2008 Ennies, I really hope he is voted back in as a judge for the next year. He's been a reasonable, supportive man throughout this entire mess. For whatever it's worth to you, this man has my full endorsement. So please lay off Jeremy and treat everyone involved with respect and decency. And with no further ado, I'll let this go into our regularly scheduled episode. It's Wednesday, August 8th, 2007, and you're listening to episode 64 of Fear the Boot, a show about tabletop role-playing games and a little bit more. Running time for this episode is 43 minutes. Welcome to Fear the Boot. My name is Dan.
My name is Adam.
My name is John.
My name is Luke.
And I'm Phil.
Yeah, Phil's here with us again, though. Phil is sitting between...
By terrible accident.
Two mics. And by between, I don't mean like there are two mics, like, you know, that he could use either. I mean like...
Yeah, he's in the perfect position to where he cannot access either mic.
Yeah, he's...
If he moved to 1 inch to the left or right, he would have access to a mic.
Yeah, well, you will not touch me.
He is in the completely wrong position, so...
What do you do as to do something about that?
If Phil is hard to understand for reasons that
aren't usually his completely opaque manner of speaking,
right? That's because of where he's sitting. This episode is going to be a little bit of a different episode because for those of you that have been following the podcast, we are at a local St. Louis convention right now.
Read, expect lower quality.
Well,
expecto crap.
they gave us sort of our own room, which I'll explain in a minute. But the point is that we're sitting here in this little meeting room in the lower level of a Holiday Inn, and I don't know how the sound quality is going to come out. And on top of that...
Yeah, there's a weird echo in this room.
Well, I also have a really sore throat, I think, from last night.
You just talked for 4 hours at a panel.
Well, I talked for 4 hours at a panel, but no, I came into that with a sore throat. I think it was from trying to yell over the music at the dance thing last night. Oh. So, anyway...
We were dancing like mad.
To explain where we're at, we are at Archon, which is a local St. Louis science fiction, fantasy, gaming, probably in that order, convention. this is primarily a sci-fi con. There is some fantasy and gaming. This is not like Gen Con, or it's primarily a gaming con, and you just might see some other stuff mixed in there. So let's talk about what we have done at this convention so far, and we'll keep that fairly short because I don't know, honestly, it's not as interesting as I'd hoped it would be. We did two panels, got to meet some really cool people, had some great times on those panels. We also just did a four-hour hands-on workshop where we took a group of about 12 people and in the course of 4 hours tried to help them produce an actual podcast.
Dan just gave
them Dan did it. Yeah. In the course of 4 hours, I said about four words.
Well, yes.
And I think I came in second.
It was it was fun doing, though. I tell you, the most interesting part of it is not even so much putting on the panel. It's hearing what these people want the podcasting for.
That's true. That was interesting.
Like the girl who's trying to, she wants to start a vidcast about the geisha movement in the West. And she had some long Japanese name for this that I couldn't.
No one could.
I couldn't come close to pronouncing right. And probably already somebody who speaks Japanese is cringing. But I couldn't even come close to it. But she had, it was really interesting what she was trying to do. And
the biggest thing we learned in that panel is that if Adam makes a Harry Potter joke and it falls flat, he should not continue to make Harry Potter jokes.
That woman, like, okay, this is...
Explain the story.
She was a cold-hearted snake.
He got stonewalled bad.
So they're moving around. They're doing something that, like, Dan can't be talking. Like, he's setting something up or he's turned around and doing something. So I look out in the audience, and this woman's reading Harry Potter 7, and I'm like, oh, Deathly Hallows in the room! The woman looks at me and says nothing.
There is silence in this entire meeting hall.
She actually scowled. She looked at you and scowled.
It was uncomfortable silence, and then she scowled.
But Adam doesn't turn away at this point. He continues to make other jokes, trying to break down the wall.
And my back was turned, so I had no idea how she was reacting, so I just kept going with it. I said, you know, I heard there's spoilers in this book.
And we all chuckled, and she just kind of gave this Dolores Umbridge.
The room just got colder.
It was much grillier, though.
Yeah, it went on for like 5 minutes. It was very
Which funny. I had no idea that this was falling flat, so I just kept going with the jokes, too.
I honestly think she came in just to have a quiet place to read Harry Potter, because she came in, turned her way through, sat down, and just, well, actually sat down with her huge ruffling bag in the middle of everything, and just opened the book and started reading.
I thought that was really weird, too, that we have this four-hour workshop, where obviously each hour is meant to build upon the previous hour.
Right.
And she comes in like in the last hour and just sits down and starts reading the Harry Potter book. And this is not an unattended workshop. I mean, you have me standing up at the front talking fairly loudly. You've got people gathered around our mics as they're doing these hands-on, you know, they're trying out podcasting. And then you've got people coming in and out from other podcasts who are giving their takes on things and their spin on things, you know, adding information to what we're saying or whatever. This is not like a good reading room.
We have to consider the random encounter table, man. There's always that double O thing that is totally out of left field.
We were one off.
And that is wandering, spiteful Harry Potter lady.
Well, you know, she was probably looking for that safety con that nobody went to. She was looking for that and was disappointed we were there.
That was the best.
That was funny. Yeah, our workshop was split into two parts because it's 4 hours long. So we had 2 hours followed by a lunch break, followed by another 2 hours.
In which Luke and I did not smuggle in Arby's under the nose of the concession stand ladies.
Arby's is not contraband at Archon.
Yeah. If you bring things in through the back door, the concessions people don't notice. But anyway, so we're sitting there during that 1 hour and another bunch of guys come in to do a panel, and the panel is on safety at a convention. And this was attended by one person.
And he was just there for a while because he still thought it was the anime panel.
Yeah, because it got scheduled over
an anime
panel.
After you guys all left to go do your various things, and I stayed with the equipment. A guy who actually came for the safety panel showed up. And so the guy gave like this 15-minute panel to this one guy.
Well, it's funny because I come walking back in, and Adam's standing with our equipment, which is, of course, right by the front table, because there's no sense in relocating it. And so
Especially if there wasn't a panel that's even going to happen.
Well, I come walking back in, and so I hear these two guys behind the table talking to this audience of one person. And I thought it was just a friend of theirs they're BSing with. So I just walk up front, just, you know, normal conversational voice. Adam standing right by the table. Hey, yeah, I need to take the laptop back to the Holiday Inn because there's no internet access in here, and I need to go look up some things. And the guy turns around and looks at me like, oh, I'm so sorry. I had no idea.
Well, he was already bitter because we tried to offer him a card. He's like, you're not coming to a panel? I don't want your card.
That guy was awesome.
He had
that gamer sarcasm I find so appealing.
I just started yakking and just took over his panels. I had no idea it was even actually a panel. I thought he was just talking to a friend of his. Like, well, I'm really sorry about that. And so I took the laptop and left. Now, Phil, you're going to have to actually move to a mic. You were bitching about changing demographics in the gaming room. Now, between being busy with con stuff and being busy with non-con stuff and just not being a big fan of gaming with strangers in general, I didn't do much in the gaming room, but but you did, and you were saying, well, just go ahead and fire.
Let me set this up as I kind of wanted to do a little research. I wanted to do as many games as I could, as many different types of games as I could. I had Stargate, I had Battletech, Star Trek, Starship Troopers.
You play all these games?
No, yeah, so I didn't play
the Starship Troopers.
Research. One. Can you, how is this, what are you researching?
I've really done only Battletech, D&D, Call of Cthulhu.
Oh, so you're trying to diversify?
Diversify myself.
So you're trying to see other people run their games.
Oh, Savage Worlds. I've played Savage Worlds. Okay. I'm sorry, Dan.
So you're just trying to see other people run these different games.
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
So basically, I get through the first couple of days, or you know, Thursday, Friday, playing the games, and I had a lot of fun with them. But then comes around today, and the first game of the day, and it's a Star Trek. So I'm thinking I'm probably going to get some Uber dorks. And I sit down with the guy that's going to be running it, and we're talking, and basically we're of the same level. You know, we've seen the movies, we've seen the series, you know, we enjoy it, but we're no freaks.
And, yeah, you don't dress up like evil Spock and walk around
at
night.
It's not like you went with a group of people who went as the Mirror Mirror Star Trek crew last night or anything.
No, I didn't.
One of them was TNG.
So I sit down, we're talking, and all of a sudden, 3 10-year-olds pop up, and I don't
just
think,
from the ground, there's
springboard. They just spawn forth. I think one was Ghost Rider.
What?
One was, you know, had the leather jacket with the chain.
Oh, a costume.
And, yeah.
Oh.
Not actually Ghost Rider. No,
okay. Like his head's on fire.
You were a young Ghost Rider.
Flaming skull at the table. Excuse me, sir. Could you please put that out? There's no smoking.
Nicolas Cage shows up playing his one role. And it's Ghost Rider this time.
So anyways, all of a sudden, it's 10-year-olds, and they're stretched across, reaching towards these figures, going, oh my god, it's the Sovereign class, I love the Nebula class, oh, are we going to play with the Dreadnoughts, oh my god, oh my god, oh my god, oh my god. And I'm thinking to myself, these kids are never going to see a vagina in their life. This is it for them. Hey, wait, they have already dorked out.
Wait. You're talking about the actual ship classes. Were you playing the tabletop war game or the RPG?
Yeah, we were playing the tabletop war game.
So what is this? The Starfleet Battles?
It's the FASA one.
Oh, the old one?
Yeah.
Oh.
It was actually really cool. I just could not stand these kids.
I thought, when you know, you said you wanted to diversify, that you'd be playing something, you know, less arcade.
Not FASA war game. Well, yeah.
It was cool. It's like
it's a fantastic. It's a great game.
I believe it. I'd love to play it.
Well, it's awesome. They even have it's like you break it down into consoles, and the way you're supposed to do it, if you do the most advanced rules, is like, let's say the five of us were the ship crew, and let's say, John, you're the captain, and I, as a game master, be like, you guys have 10 seconds to talk. And
well,
I,
yeah, you've described this as the role-playing game. Is it the same job?
Yeah, and basically what then happens is, let's say Adam's the engineer. He now has to figure out, based on, he can't talk to you anymore. The RP's over. He just by himself now has to figure out where to put the power. And then Phil, if he's the helmsman, has to decide where to move the ship. And Luke is a science officer. He's allowed to ask me a certain number of sensor questions that I will only answer to him in private that turn. And then during the next 10 seconds, everyone has to try to report back what's going on. And while you're still trying to give orders and they're trying to give damage reports and sensor readings, it's a ton of fun if you run it the way it's meant to be run.
I sense this happening in our future.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, I wanted to run a Star Trek game, but
hey, I voted for it.
We hemorrhaged too many people and it became a D&D game for lack of crew.
That's true.
I knew Phil was in trouble this morning because right when I got to the con, because I didn't stay here, I drove in. I rolled up, waiting for everybody to show up, and Phil pops out of the game room immediately. He's like, Luke, you have to save me. I'm playing with 10-year-olds. And I'm like, just leave. He's like, no, here, give me your cell phone. We'll have Adam call it, and I'll make up an excuse like I'm sick. I'm like, they're 10-year-olds. What are they? They're not even going
to. And I'd like to say to all of our younger audience members that I think these guys can go screw themselves. I gamed at 10. It was still fun. I understood Star Trek. I'm with you.
I was just hoping that, you know, they're at a convention. Why can't they be Yu-Gi-Oh! Or Pokemon or something? I mean, stick to your own genre. This is my stuff
here. Yeah, this is a game that was written before, hell, you were even born.
Probably.
So, I mean, yeah, well, those 10-year-olds were born.
Oh, absolutely. 10-year-old now is born in 97. That game was probably written no later than
81.
Yeah.
Yes. He said 71.
Yes, do that math. Old feeling you're feeling, that's accurate.
No. The worst old feeling, and this is a sad story, but the funny anecdote in it,
excellent,
is I had to go to a funeral for a friend of mine who died at the ripe old age of 32.
Not so excellent.
And by the way, for those of you out there that don't take your health seriously, please do, because if you're overweight and smoke and eat greasy food and all that, yeah, young death happens to not just other people. And
that's the new apology, the health PSA.
That's not a new apology. That's I've buried one person who was not over 70, and that was one too many. So, but anyway, while I'm there, one of my ex-girlfriends is there because she's best friends with this guy's wife, now widow. And when I date her, she had two kids that were 3 and 4 respectively. They're now in high school. Ooh. And I'm like, I am so old. I'm 30 years old. And all I'm saying is stress on the old there.
The only old moment I've had has been when I'm examining a child for the first time.
You're a doctor and I'm older than you.
Yeah,
you want to talk about old moments. I'm older than a doctor.
Well, they sit there.
People get out of med school and older than me, not younger than me.
Well, when a kid gets their first pair of glasses, a lot of times I'll be like, if they look concerned, I'll be like, don't worry, it's just going to be a really thin pair, not going to be a pair of Coke bottles. And they give me this weird look, and I'll look over at their mom or dad and be like, they have no idea what a Coke bottle is. I'm ancient. You know, they don't know what that means. They're just going
to
be real.
Yeah, it's actually a plastic Coke bottle has a pretty thin bottom to it.
Yes, so. It does. What's wrong with that? I don't mind Coke bottles. I like Coke.
I had an old moment earlier today when I went to go get a drink and got it.
They didn't charge you.
It's nice to be 21.
Yeah, I went through the exact same thing. People used to tell me all the time, you're going to bitch about being carded until the day it stops.
I'm not carded now.
And then you're going to wish people would card you again.
No,
and
it doesn't bother me.
I've been through that. It was like, you know, I'm 25 years old and annoyed as hell. They keep asking to see my ID. And I've hit this point where I almost never get carded for anything anymore. I mean, it's like I have to be making a gun purchase before someone asks to see an ID anymore.
Yeah.
And
I never did get carded. As soon as I was 21, I was old.
All right. We talked about the changing a little bit about the demographic here. It fills the noise with 10-year-olds. Let's talk about something here, and this is specific to this con, but this is something that I think people can apply to cons in general, okay? Because cons in general change over time.
Yeah, I don't think this is an isolated phenomenon here.
So yeah, we're going to tell you an anecdote, but I think this is something you guys can... Oh, before we get to that, we did try to crash the furry panel last night.
There was nothing there. Except one of the producers of the mud I play.
Yeah, we but
Ilanka Dunnan, I love you, but you were at a furry panel.
Yeah, John busted a friend last night.
Yep.
It was an R-rated, and they were checking IDs at the door. Furry sex panel. And that was the name of it. Quoted off the program, R-rated furry sex panel. And John busted somebody he knew there.
Oh, she is 5 rungs of the ladder above where I am, but
I thought it could have been gold for one reason. All right, now granted, the two guys up front were not dressed in fursuits or anything like that.
So that's what we came for.
Right, they were not beatboxing black women like at the one you went to. Yeah. But here's the reason I think it could have been comedy gold. The fact that it's a furry panel aside. When we walked in and sat down, there was a movie screen set up. And you know something wonderful was going to be shown on that movie screen.
No, we walked in and the guy's like, yeah, this panel came up on us suddenly. We didn't really have time to prepare anything. And so I was like,
I had a question for him, but I didn't have the gumption to ask it. So I'll just throw it into the void, the anonymity of a microphone protecting me. Why did you people invite yourselves to our subculture? I mean, comic books, Star Trek, video games, this kind of all runs together. Adult anthropomorphism. What? What's the link here?
That was actually because if we had stuck around, I was going to start deadpan asking him all kinds of questions like that. Like raising my hand asking things like, what do you feel started the furry movement? And how do you feel the furry movement relates to the rest of the geek culture? And what is really scary is last night I was standing around talking to someone who I will not name and asked this question aloud. And this was not at the context of the furry panel, okay? This was just hanging around with a bunch of people I know outside in the hallway down by where they're serving the beer sometime later, and he had an answer for me.
Wow.
Yeah, and it's not so much that the answer itself bothered me.
No, that he had an answer.
It's the fact that anyone had an answer. You know, it's like if I gave someone a watermelon and said, how would you insert this in a body orifice? And they have a well-thought-out answer. That's wrong. You should not know how to do this at all. Getting back to what we were going to talk about, and like I said, this is somewhat anecdotal to this convention, but I think this is something that you can see at any convention you attend over a long period of time. When I first started going to Archon, it was in the year 1992, okay? So just put my old man glasses on. This would have been 15 years ago. And when I went to it, it was primarily an older demographic. And I don't just say that because I was a teenager at the time. The demographic, as I looked around, the average age of somebody walking around was going to be 40-something years old. Whoa. It was, as I said, primarily a sci-fi fantasy con with some elements of gaming. There was partying. There was drinking. But that was not what the con was about. That when you walked in, the panels were very neat, had covered a lot of great topics, had a lot of good information. When you walked in and sat down in a panel, you were lucky to sit down because typically they were packed to standing room only. The people came there really to take advantage of the con for all that it was worth, not just to get blasted and have an excuse to put on costumes.
Fast forward 10 years, exactly. Yeah. My first Archon was in 2002. It was everything Dan just finished off saying it used
to
not
be. Well, you don't even have to fast forward that far because basically
yeah, you don't.
I stuck with the con for about another 5 years and watched it in the course of 5 years transform slowly. I don't, not that five of cons is very slowly, but so transform very quickly from a con where people took things more seriously into basically what's a big party con where it's just an excuse for people to get drunk, do drugs, have sex, and wear funny costumes. And anything else, the dealer room's not that interesting. The panels aren't that interesting or that well
attended. I bought a funny hat a couple years ago.
The panels aren't that well attended. And it was interesting this year because this year Archon was merged with two other conventions.
WorldCon and NASFIC?
I thought NASFIC and WorldCon.
NASFIC and TuckerCon.
Yeah, NASFIC, yeah. Which is, I think is WorldCon. And then
they just named Archon TuckerCon because of one of the gentlemen that worked for Archon passed away.
Oh.
So they just named it Tucker.
The point being, Archon merged, which a rather large literary convention, and because of that, they significantly increased the ticket price.
They doubled the ticket price.
Yeah, they is painful. The door ticket price was $120. The pre-order was a low $90. And
economics dictates that this rather slashed the population.
Yeah, that the people that showed up are people that really are serious about the material. That anyone who's just some college kid looking to come in and drink in a funny costume is not going to show up.
Yeah.
And so what happened instead is as I walk around, what I see is what looks like the Archon of 1992, where you have an older demographic that's primarily people that really are interested in the material of the con. They're not just here to get jackhammered. And it's interesting because within the podcast, even, it was kind of a slow weekend for me. I've got a lot of things weighing on my mind right now, and we have been very busy. I've got a sore throat. I'm tired. I'm sure all this is coming across on the mics right now. But nonetheless, I still, somewhere in the back of my heart, appreciated seeing the con return to what it used to be.
I was annoyed.
However, I realize I am either alone or at least mostly alone in that opinion. So I will let the incorrect crowd fire away for a few minutes.
Go ahead, Adam. You're more impassioned about this than I am.
Let me explain this in a little story. Maybe it was last year or the year before that Chad's car got towed.
That was 2 years ago. I was here. Okay.
2 years ago, Chad moved his car. He went to go out somewhere. He came back, could not find a parking spot anywhere. I mean,
not the hotel, not the convention center.
Not the convention center, not the surrounding hotel parking lots. So he parked on the grass and then got his car towed. When we walked out, I drove him to go get his car.
He was not the only one that parked on the grass either.
There was a whole
mess. This place was overflowed
with
times a lot.
Yeah. But when we walked out there, I mean, there was just cars everywhere. Hundreds, thousands of cars. This year, they haven't even filled up the hotel parking lot. It's less than
attendance is down. And I will say that part does disappoint me. The fact that attendance is down does disappoint me.
That's the price of raising ticket prices so much.
Yeah. Well, yeah. But now, like I said.
But then the people who are, the average con-going age is 10 years higher than 10 years older than I am.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Adam and I are the youngest people in the room.
Yeah, in most rooms.
Pretty easily. Unless there are some really, really young kids, like the ones Phil encountered, but they're rather rare.
But I mean, I don't know. I have a hard time relating to that generation.
Well, I guess let me ask you this, though. I mean, to me, the point of a sci-fi fantasy gaming convention is sci-fi fantasy and gaming. And like, as I said before, Archon really tackles them in that order. That what the older Archons, and if you still talk to some of the real veterans of this convention, these are people whose passion is like the day the earth stood still or Forbidden Planet or, you know, all these.
Oh, yeah. Well, the ladies we interviewed yesterday were original Star Trek diehards, fanfic writers before it existed back in the 60s.
Yeah, back when Star Trek wasn't even popular to anyone at all.
Yeah.
And I guess what I have trouble relating to is not so much that, you know, the lower attendance bothers you, because that I understand, but why lose sleep, so to speak, over the fact that a sci-fi fantasy gaming convention is in fact focusing on sci-fi fantasy gaming, not beer, liquor, and spirits?
Well, because to me, it's never been about the sci-fi fantasy or...
It's been a theme to the party, to Adam and I. It hasn't actually been a matter of significant discourse.
Well, I mean, even those things are just a means to an end of fun, and I enjoy partying.
Phil's giving a crooked look here. Dark, do you have anything to say, or are you just falling asleep?
No, I'm not falling asleep. I just have
Phil. You slept all night last night. I got 6 hours of sleep for the last 2 days.
I took my
meds. Phil went to bed at like 8:30 p.m., by the way, just for the record.
It was 10:30.
When I came back up for the third rum run, and you had been dead asleep for 2 hours? Yes, it was 10:30.
I hate you, John.
I hate all of you, because last night I kept getting separated from everyone. And I was the only dude in the entire group carrying a cell phone, because everyone else was wearing
costumes. I'm carrying a cell phone. It's out of batteries, but I have it.
Well, no, last night, because everyone was in costumes and therefore couldn't carry their cell phone.
No, my pants had pockets.
Were you carrying it?
Yeah.
His battery's dead, though.
Well, his battery's dead, so yeah, I mean, what's the point? I mean,
I'm just saying.
It's like,
well, let me point this out.
Andy Griffith carrying his unloaded gun. I mean, what's
let me point this out. I stopped to talk to someone, and then you kept walking. That counts as you walking away from me. That one was
no, that was the other way around. We were crossing that bridge, and then Paul was coming the other direction, and he stops to talk to me, and then you guys kept on going to the concert, so we'll meet you over there.
No, I wasn't walking with you across the bridge.
No, ma'am.
We stopped to talk. No, ma'am.
I'm sure our listenership really enjoys all drama we have about who ditched who last night.
Adam's marital spat.
I didn't have that much to drink.
Yeah, Luke, what are your impressions? This is Luke's first con, so like we got the whole tabula rasa thing going on.
Yeah,
what say you?
That was not what I was expecting. You know, I've heard all the stories from my friends of the big party con here, so I didn't get exposed to a lot of that. You know,
Back next year.
A little bit of the drinking. Some of the party rooms were okay, but I also didn't get exposed to a whole lot of the panels because we were busy enough that there wasn't much time to sit in or anything but the stuff that we did. And I was entertained by some of that just fine.
You know how Dan says he enjoys the panels?
Uh-huh.
Or enjoyed the panels? I hate the panels.
Yeah, I hate the
Burning
panels
Passion
too.
Because there's that one fat beard. I hate that guy.
I know who you're talking about.
He's got a comment for everything. And the guy who's not actually on the panel, but knows more than the panels.
The professional attendee.
Yeah.
And knows more than the panels. Let's put that in quotes.
Yeah.
He might actually
Although
know
sometimes it doesn't need to go in quotes because sometimes the panels don't know anything.
Yeah, sometimes it is true.
No,
yeah.
Sir, I disagree with that statement because in episode 12, he was wearing the red shirt, not blue. That's what it all comes down to, I did pop into the gaming room briefly, which Adam had to come rescue me from later because I was looking around and seeing.
Had someone else rescue you, but you wouldn't rescue me when I was in dire need.
I wasn't involved in anything.
You were my brother.
Hey, Phil, I'd like to tell you. He told me this story, and I whipped out my phone. I was in the middle of calling you, and he's like, oh, this was 2 hours ago.
He's right. He really did do that, and I'm like, Phil can get rid of some 10-year-olds if he can't. He needs some class or something.
I felt sorry for the guy.
Yeah, Phil, do you know how not long it's going to be until you have a 10-year-old?
The game room was okay. I popped in kind of late, and there were a few things going on. A lot of Battletech that night, actually, which I was a little surprised.
I attribute that to the increased age.
The age definitely played a role there.
Yeah, there was a lot more of the 80s rocking out in the gaming room tonight.
I will have to say that even though I did not get involved in the gaming room, when I walked around, the games that I saw going on were very much traditional Fear the Boot material.
A lot of hex maps in there.
This was old 80s and early 90s RPGs, the old war games, like, you know, the Napoleonic type war games.
There was a little D&D 3.5, but that was about it.
Yeah, this was all. I felt very at home walking around there, except for I don't game at conventions, generally speaking.
Yeah,
somebody who's played Living Greyhawk, and not really at conventions, but knowing how big it is in the St. Louis area, to come in here and see the only thing Living Greyhawk going on was a bunch of intro games at a convention that's this big, I was like, that's pretty sad. Because usually at a con like this, they're premiering stuff. They're having a lot of adventures. Or a lot of people from Illinois are coming in to play a lot of games. And if they're only having the intro adventures, that's not the case at all.
It's dead Greyhawk now.
Last year they had some really cool Verberbonk stuff, but other than that.
That's some really cool what? Verberbonk?
That's the Illinois region for Living Greyhawk is Verberbonk.
Verberbonk?
Is that German or Dwarvish or what?
What's cool about Greyhawk is that you can create a legitimate character sheet and you can take it to different states and play with them. But each state had, or each set of states has its own home region mm-hmm. in the made-up fantasy world of Living Greyhawk.
Okay. Is this a LARP?
No, it's organized play.
And I don't want to get into this too much because actually what I'm thinking, our Gen Con episode is going to be, is depending on who we can run into, I would love our Gen Con episode to be about organized play events. And Ryan Dancy, if you're listening to this, yes, I know you founded an organization called Organized Play. And we'll be looking for you if you're not looking for us. We'll be easy to spot in Fear the Boot shirts. I kind of know what you look like, but assuming I can't read your name badge, I don't know, I might grab some generic wrong person and embarrass myself. So anyway.
That could be an entertaining
episode. We could just grab everyone at Gen Con and say, hey, are you Ryan Dancy?
Anyone that has kind of gray hair and a goatee, grab them and be like, are you Ryan Dancy?
That narrows it down right there.
And after we've worked through all those.
All 80,000
people at Gen Con.
Yes.
We'll have found out he was in the bathroom when we walked through that hall. So anyway.
As for the con itself. It was fun. It was a lot of fun hanging out with everybody, and just I don't get to see people in costume very often. It was a little surreal, but entertaining. And
surreal is not the word you should use.
Well, I don't get to be in costume often.
Sometimes a little. The dude with the bulge. I wanted to get my picture taken.
That did not need to be done.
Bulge
there was
guy.
A guy walking around
the. We had the
con.
Latex fetish versus the furries going on in the hallways last night, and it was just not
nice. I don't know
what
this guy was supposed to be. I have no idea.
He was supposed to be obscene. But he succeeded.
He was dressed neck to toe in this shiny, skin-tight, silver outfit, and I don't think he was wearing underwear. All I got to say is when I walk, I tend to walk with my eyes down about 20 or 30 degrees, and I saw something that I ought not see ever in great detail.
Contour lines.
Yes, the Statue of David is more clothed. I'm still partially blind from it. I don't know what he was supposed to be outside
he'll
of
Wong. Yeah,
he'll
be dressed again tonight. I'll get a picture for you.
No. You get no such damn thing.
I'll put it next to your unicron.
You could put up pictures of the girls in their Mirror Mirror costumes or Carl in her Troy costume or any of the other things we've seen that do not burn me. But this thing was worse than Goatsy. This thing was worse than
I don't know about that.
Not that bad. See, other than the great silver bulge, the highlight of the con had to be meeting Richard Hatch. That was pretty cool.
All right, let's talk about it. I took his hand. First of all, let me get some background here. Our contact with Archon is a guy by the name of Daryl, who handles the technical tracks and all the technical stuff that goes on at Archon. Okay, so some of the video gaming, the podcasting stuff. And so Daryl sends me this email, says, hey, we had a last-minute addition that we just got Richard Hatch to attend as a guest. And my thought is, why did you get the gay guy off of Survivor? And I could not connect.
Is this jail for IRS scams?
Well, I heard about that guy.
And it's like, this makes no sense. Why would this guy be a guest we even worth mentioning, much less inviting? So I sent out an email, I think it was to Adam. I'm like, do you know who? It's like, I've got to be wrong about this. Who else is a Richard Hatch that is worthy of note? And then he points out, Richard Hatch was Apollo in the original Battlestar Galactica and is now such and such on the new Battlestar. I've not watched the show, so such and such on the new Battlestar. And we come to find out that he is here because he's apparently, from the way the story is explained to me, and I mean this in no way to besmirch Mr. Hatch, because he's obviously done some really cool stuff.
I think I got some clarification on this, but go ahead.
Give me the clarification then before I give the raw story.
Okay, well, the way I had explained it to you was that he was pimping that role-playing game.
Mm-mm. Right.
It's the other way around. He's actually wrote a book and a movie.
But it's the Great Magellan War, or the Great War of Magellan, is a big multimedia push, from what I understand. He's got, at least, he's trying to get a movie put together. He's got some clips from it. I think they've talked about a comic book, books, and the role-playing game. And in the future, his whole goal seems to be to create an MMO, from talking to him last night.
Yeah, that's what he said last night.
To kind of bridge the gap. So he's got it's a media blitz by him.
So basically, he's trying to create a story that will be told in every...
Yeah, he's trying to create
every,
one universe.
Spaceballs like a flamethrower.
50 formats.
Yeah, that every medium known to man is okay. So he's trying to create a role-playing game, comic book, novel books, movies. That's ambitious.
Yeah, it's cool.
It's really ambitious, but he's talking to me. He's very optimistic, got a lot of idealism and a lot of push.
I was going to say, because some of the things that I was hearing in bits and pieces made no sense. Okay, now that we have the real story, let me tell you the story I was told, which was apparently wrong.
Wait, was this from me?
I don't remember who this was from, but I was told by somebody, we'll blame Adam.
All right, cool.
That's
what I do.
I'm quotable.
3 or 4 months ago, he discovered role-playing game, and basically knowing nothing about role-playing games, decided to run out and make his own just because of who he is, managed to get it published, and is now basically has this kind of like the same kind of enthusiasm that most people do, assuming they like role-playing games, when they discover their first role-playing game and then decide they're going to write their own and change the world. And I'm like, this is beyond crazy. There's got to be more
without
to the story.
Without
than
the
this.
Other missing contextual pieces, mm-hmm. that's exactly the impression that I got last night. And yeah, this was me who was telling you that. But once I heard the rest of the whole
story,
he wants to create the one universe told in 50 different formats.
Yep. So
it's much less crazy and
it's ambitious.
Yeah, it's much cooler.
I mean, perhaps Star Wars aside, it's unprecedented. And even Star Wars didn't set out to do that. It just became that. So, I mean, this is the first time I'm aware, at least I'm personally aware, of someone trying to do this from the very get-go.
And he is very passionate about it.
Yeah, he's actually fiery. But he sits in on the games of this all weekend. I mean,
he's playing in
them. Yeah, he's playing in them.
Yeah, we talked to him a little bit. But, this is the real truth is a lot less crazy than the version I was originally told.
Yeah,
Adam and I got to actually sit down and talk to him for a while last night, which was pretty cool. That was probably the highlight of the con for me. And really the first time I've met anybody with any celebrity of note other than, you know, one of the guys on Channel 5 here in St. Louis who does the news.
Like, well, I'll post the pictures of you and him.
Awesome.
And I'll email it over.
I met the guy who does Silicious Crumb. I have a picture of shaking his hand.
I wish I'd had recording devices on me because he's also the guy that did the voice of Gizmo. And I wanted so desperately to get an audio, like, I don't know, tag or whatever the heck you call it from him.
Oh, yes.
A bumper.
What the heck are they called?
Stinger?
No. When somebody says, hey, this is so-and-so and you're listening to such-and-such, there's a proper name for that that's now just completely just flood my mind.
Blurb?
Yeah.
Bark?
Whatever. I don't know, whatever. There is a name for it, and it's just completely slipped my mind. But the point being, and don't bother emailing me this, because I guarantee the minute I hit stop, I'll remember the word. But the point being that I wanted to get him to do one of those in Gizmo's Mogwai voice. And I had no recording equipment on me. I also wanted to get him to say bye-bye, Billy, because Tim and I, all through college, it was just some stupid inside joke between us. We'd always do throat's way too sore, so I can't do it, but we'd always do this high-pitched Mogwai voice and go bye-bye, Billy, to each other. And I so desperately wanted that and didn't get it because I had no recording equipment on me.
I wonder if he would have done my phone message as Salacious Crumb. That character that doesn't even speak basic. He could have just laughed, and that would have been it.
He could have done it as Gizmo, or, you know, once again, not that you've
barely
known
him,
he even knows what Gizmo is, but the point being that, yeah, it would have been funny to get him to, you know, it is funny, though, what this brings to mind is the way that I cherry pick these cons, that what I care about is so, I don't know, esoteric or whatever, that I walk down the hall, and it's like, here's this guy that everybody's drooling. Oh, this is the big star from Heroes or the big star from Battlestar Galactica. It's like, I don't even know who the hell the guy is. But it's like, there's some obscure dude next to him that did the voice of Gizmo. Yes. And I'm like, oh my gosh, he's the guy that did Gizmo.
I'm exactly like that. I think we all are.
You know what I really wish we would have done? On that panel that you sat in on Thursday, you sat next to a guy who worked with Decay.
Mm-hmm.
I'd have loved to see if we could pimp that guy to see if Decay would do something for us.
Yeah.
I want that man's voice.
I don't think that was going to happen.
I don't think so either.
Because
you know what?
Those panels we were on, it was a couple of local, you know, us like the local boys, but then they actually, because it's Worldcon, got some pretty big names to come in and sit on those panels with us. And one or two of them were really, really friendly and sociable with us. I was shocked because one of these people even knew who we were. And we had great conversations with him and all that, but that particular guy that Adam's referring to, he wasn't mean or anything like that. He wasn't a jerk. He just wasn't real sociable, so I didn't see any quote-unquote networking opportunities there.
There were no networking opportunities for him with us either.
So. He's
a producer.
We offer him nothing, and he didn't seem that interested.
Yeah, he offered us nothing other than...
He didn't seem that interested in just socializing either. So we did meet somebody else famous here. After I pushed past all the hoes, I found the pimp of the internet.
Oh, Tony Mast.
Mr. Tony Mast from, he's got like 18 podcasts now.
He's only got three.
Fanboy SmackDown, Sci-Fi SmackDown, Tony's losing it.
Tony's, okay, so there we go.
He does look slimmer.
Tony is losing it.
He's not as long as I have.
Yeah.
You know, he's been doing the workout.
Tony's losing it, by the way, is his podcast about him trying to lose weight, basically his trip of self-determination, self-control, and all that to lose weight and get in better shape. And
what's his boss, his pound number, like?
I don't know, I catch up with him now and again, but he went off of the daily plate site, so I don't get all that kind of info anymore.
So, but anyway, we walked into a cigar bar, because there's a cigar bar attached to the steak restaurant here, and we were sitting around. It's like, we had the press pass, of course, abuse it like we always do. So we walk, there's actually a picture of this already on our forums. We walked down a hallway, found the executive conference room, and just took it over. For no particular reason.
We had an executive conference.
Just sat down at all the high back.
We discussed the merger.
Sat down at all the high back leather chairs. We're just sitting there talking, drinking the free beer out of the red cups.
Yes.
And
the classic red solo cup.
At which
mandatory.
Point, I got to the bottom of mine. I said, you know, actually, a cigar bar down there makes a really good black and tan. And they do it the proper way. Where, you know, you actually have the Guinness on top and the beer I always forget on the bottom.
I didn't even care, Harp, about the black and tan, but I figured from that they had Guinness on tap.
Right.
So I said, hell yeah.
And they also, they've got a pretty good selection of cigars. So I'm like, let's go over there. And so we go over there and run into, once again, a couple of these guys that were really cool. But then Tony Mass is sitting there with him talking to him, just because Tony, being the pimp of the internet, knows and is connected to everybody.
Everyone.
Yeah. It's 6 billion people out there. Whoever you are, Tony knows you. You just don't know it yet, maybe, but somehow Tony knows you.
Yeah, you might not know him, but that doesn't matter.
Yeah,
that means we know everybody.
That's irrelevant. So we sat down with them and kicked back several drinks and smoked cigars, had a pretty good time.
That was a great time.
That was a fun time. Delicious Blue Moon. Mm.
Tawny Port, Mount Pleasant Winery, Missouri favorite.
All right, well, we're getting tired, so I think we're going to go ahead and wrap this up. But just to let you guys know kind of what's coming up. We next week are going to do a regular episode. We've already got some topics lined up for it. We'll be back at my place. Tex will be back on Skype with us. And we are going to be doing a regular episode on regular topics. The following week will be a Gen Con episode. I have no idea what to expect for that, because at this point, I have no idea what to expect from Gen Con for a wide variety of reasons. But the point being, at this point, I have no idea what to expect in my Gen Con experience, or how many listeners we're going to run into, or what we can set up. But I would love to do a listener-involved podcast of some kind at Gen Con if we can make that work, and I don't know if we can.
That'd be cool if we could set up like a Q&A.
Yeah, or just some kind of, you know, get some other people involved talking to us. But either way, if you guys are going to be at Gen Con, we're still going to be out there, still going to be at the podcaster meet and greet, bunch of other things. Would love to see you. We'll be in Fear of the Boot t-shirts, so we'll be easy to spot.
Yes, DLI has ironed them very nicely.
Yes, they've washed, ironed, and folded them all. Yes. I don't think it's one voicemail for us, and it hasn't stopped yet. But anyway, so that's what you guys could expect coming up. But on top of that, we also have a bonus episode, which I'm going to try and drop later this week, because I realized that this episode probably did not contain the usual punch that we normally deliver, just because
I'm tired.
But I'm not in the bonus episode, so you don't need to care about
it. We're at a con and worn out, so I'll try to drop a bonus episode later this week to give you guys something more to chew on. So thank you for tuning in, and we will catch you next time.
Ta-ta.
This has been a production of Fear the Boot, copyright 2007, fully owned by its host. Our theme song was written and performed by Tim White. Listeners are free to use this show in any non-commercial endeavor, as long as credit is provided to feartheboot.com. You can find previous episodes and other resources at feartheboot.com.